Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, baby. It's almost over. September.
That's it. It's coming. October.
And we went 5 games into the football season.
That's right. It's our 5th week, right?
Week 5. We're 4-0.
Michigan State went up. They had a bye week.
Oh, that's right. They didn't lose.
All the Big Ten teams lost.
They didn't lose.
So we went up. That's the best coaching I've ever seen. Don't have to play. It will go up into your polls.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll get to this college in a minute, but on the local level.
Yes, sir.
You know, Big Reds are just cruising along, man. You know, we got the next 3 games this week with Fruitport, Jenison, Grand Rapids Union, Shores. That's the only game left on the schedule.
They still undefeated too, right?
They're undefeated. Yeah, great. We're looking forward to that, man. It's going to be a fantastic football game.
I got a nephew on that team. I hope he ready. He ready.
Yeah, because we went through this series where, you know, the kids get bored.
Yeah, they do. Because they undefeated and the other team undefeated.
Yeah.
I think both of them can run the table.
Yeah.
And they're looking run at against each other and pound each other out in good fun.
Yeah, and it should be a huge crowd. You know, again, that's a local crosstown rivalry, which
yes,
we always like because that puts money into the athletic fund.
Hit the 31.
For the school.
Hit the 31.
Yep. So we can help pay for some of these non-revenue-generating sports, you know, like the wrestling and baseball and soccer. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to continue to build a sports dynasty.
That's right.
At the high school.
Making it right, building. And the score, they played Kenilworth Hills last week, right? I listened to the radio.
Yeah, I went. I went to the game. And it was kind of interesting. They opened up with the passing game, which we really haven't showcased.
Yes, sir, I heard
in the last 3 games. And you can see the comfort level of the young man Martinez has, you know, jumped 100% with his passing game. So I would think by the time we see Shores, he's going to be very comfortable. So the running game is there. We had 5 touchdowns called back.
So then the score was 72. Yeah, it was 72 to 14, right?
14.
So 5 times 6 is 30.
Yeah.
2 point, 1 point.
That's 102.
We led 102 points to 14. Man, I gave you
with a running clock. All right, got to remember there was a running clock in that game as well.
It'd be rough being somebody's daddy.
Yeah.
On the team.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
Grandmama came to the game. My granny came. We lost 100.
It was not pretty, man. It was not. You know, I mean, but that's the way it is, right?
They was holding popcorn trying to play defense on.
Right. You know, we kicked off so many times I keep counting. And, like, one kickoff, somebody got wiped out. And it was like from that point on, nobody wanted to touch that football, man.
I remember last year, Willie did that to somebody. Willie
Shanks. Bo Shanks.
They was done. They was like, everybody on that whole side was done.
Don't kick that ball to me, whatever you do. I'm going to slip.
He laid him way out. It was like, pow.
Bo Shanks, that's my guy. Good guy.
Man, that brings up, I know we are talking about high school, but that brings up the Davis kid. They got drafted by Miami and was a pro bowler. That retired at halftime.
Oh, for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, it seemed like Kenwood Hills retired at halftime. So,
So he
retired. So I'm like, but I'm thinking in perspective. Okay, NFL is a money game, right?
Right.
He luck up. He get traded from the Dolphins, go to Indiana, right?
Okay.
Become a Pro Bowler, do well. I mean, amazing talent. Then he start losing the love up in cold Buffalo. You know, he made the team. They signed him. He said he was going to do such and such, be a backup, right?
Right. Backup.
But then.
Backup.
Who they was playing? Because they was getting beat. Oh, they was getting bashed.
Man, I can't remember who they were playing.
They was getting beat bad, right?
Yeah, they were. They were.
So then I think somebody got hurt or something. Then they was like, put him in, coach.
He's a pro bowler.
He looked like, oh, man, I got to get in the game? I thought I was going to go 16 weeks just get this paycheck.
Right. Show up for practice.
Walk through. Check. Watch film. Go to the meetings. Hit the weight room. Keep my body in shape so I can hang out afterwards. But the coach was like, go get in. Go ahead.
Who, me? Talking to me?
That reminded me of the movie Any Given Sunday with with Jamie Foxx.
Right.
They're like, oh, I gotta play. Yeah, I don't play football. I had to play. The jersey. I have never seen nobody retire, man, in the middle of the season.
Right.
The third game of the season and at halftime.
That's like quitting your job on lunch. You go to lunch break and don't come back.
Done. I'm retired. Put your street clothes on. Security looking at you like, where you going?
Right.
Hey, man, hey, take this $100, man. I got to get out of here. I retired.
Right, let me out of this gated. Let me get out of this gated parking lot, man. I got to go.
Go get my car, man.
Yeah, I got things I got to go do.
What do you do? Like, you like? I know Shannon Sharp talked about, he said, for that last time, he said, you know, during training camp when you're not going to come back. He said, you might play the last game of the season and be like, I'm done with this. You will have to make a decision with your family before the season. But he said, I've never seen nobody during the game be like, check out. He said, he said the decision happened way before. He probably checked out 2 years ago.
Okay.
But he seen that he was able to get some money.
Right.
And you know, when you get a decent, when you get $1 million for 16 weeks of work.
That's not a bad payday.
Yeah, and their paycheck, you know, they get paid every Monday.
Okay, every Monday.
The check come every Monday. So they get a check every Monday. And whatever your contract is for that year, you get it in 16 weeks, Tony.
Okay.
So if you're making $116,000, you're making that a week. It's broken up weekly.
That's not a bad paycheck.
Man, that's an amazing paycheck. So think about how he thinking. Like, all right, I'm going to sign with the Bills. They really not noticeable. I can play for them. I got a big name. But I'm not going to have to play in no games because somebody supposed to be the starter. It's two guys before me, so I'm good.
Right. So
something happens. Somebody get hurt. Things don't work out. Coach say, go get in the game. Oh, I ain't got my helmet.
Okay.
Woo.
That's right. So $5 million is what he had signed for.
Okay, so then divide that by 16. Million. We're not going to take no taxes out, but this is divided by 16.
So he was like $769,000
per week.
Yeah.
So audience, imagine that you go to work for 16 weeks and you make $700,000 a week before taxes. After tax, you might see $300,000, right?
Yep.
That's every week, every Monday. Wouldn't that keep you going?
Davis' contract called for him to earn $2.5 million in base salary for the Bills.
So he got a bonus.
No, base salary was $225,000. He instead forfeits all but the pair of $132,353 game checks he already received from being a member of the Bills in week one and two. He could have earned as much as $1 million in per game bonuses this season.
Wow.
A total of $250,000 if he was on the Bills 53-man roster for 16 games. And a total of $750,000 if he was part of the team's active 46-man roster each week.
He was making it. So he was doing the workouts to make the roster.
Yep. He instead forfeits all but the $78,125 he received for being part of the Bills' 53-man roster in 2 weeks after the active roster against the Chargers.
Yep, so he got that's who ran them through.
Yeah.
They were scoring touchdowns like they was walking through the end zone.
So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts with that pay. But, again, it's more money than the average person would earn in, you know, a year, 2 years working a normal job.
Yeah, but if he was the athlete that he was when he came over from Indiana, that's easy for him.
Yeah, how old was he?
That's a young kid. He was like, he been in the NFL since 2010.
Let's see if it says how old he was. It doesn't say.
Young guy, man.
But evidently he got plan B.
I guess he do.
Yep. In his NFL career, he has earned about $50 million.
Oh, he good.
Yep. $50 million. So if he's managed his money, he should be okay. Yep, he should be okay. But, you know, it doesn't sound like he planned very well for that retirement because that's not a good look.
No, it's not.
Right? Just not a good look to quit at halftime.
Everywhere he go, they going to notice him as that.
Yeah, he will be known as the man that played a half a game and decided to call it quits. I'm done.
Call it out of there. I'm out of there. It's over.
Yeah, but again, like I say, $50 million is a lot of money. Hopefully he's taking care of his money and he's he won't, you know, he's not a poor guy.
Speaking of money, I was looking at MLive. I used to listen to the radio and articles and stuff. And I seen the Hikes article. You know, that was old news about Hikes being dissolved.
Yeah, yeah, that was the conversation we had last week.
Last time. Yeah. But then I saw an article with Muskegon, and I was like, hold up, is that a typo? It said Muskegon has a surplus over 300 and some odd, probably 3.5
100,000 surplus.
So, but then around last June or last May.
Summer, actually, right? Yeah. Right around the first part of the summer, because the budget has to go in June.
Yes, sir.
June 30th is when the budget has to go in.
Yes, sir.
And it was projected to be a $462,000
deficit, right?
Deficit, yeah.
So deficit means that means you owe that. It's a negative sign.
That means money that we've basically, it was $428,000. So that was money that we didn't have that we needed to operate the school district for the coming year. So therefore, that's why you make the various moves that they did with potential teacher layoffs, reduction in salaries. You know, superintendent took a pay cut. His staff took a pay cut. And I'm assuming there were probably some teachers that retired.
Yes,
sir. Got a retirement package that we didn't, you know, rehire folks to take their place. So there were a lot of budget cuts that took place. But yet, it came out the other day that we're at a surplus. So that tells you one or two things happened. One is didn't do a very good job of giving this information to the superintendent and the Board of Education. Okay.
When talk to the whole community, they didn't have information.
Right, these heated discussions.
So somebody in the accounting department dropped the ball.
Finance and accounting, or it was done on purpose.
Woo.
Okay.
I hope not to make the brother look bad.
Yeah. So it's one or two things.
That brother weathered a strong storm. Then he got some heart.
He did. Yeah,
he hung in there and look at it. Look at the cloud.
See what happens when you're doing the right thing, man.
I sat with him and I did a show. I think he was absent.
Right, right.
And he came in and sat in with me. He showed me everything. He sat in with you and then he sat in with me.
Right. Yeah.
We both was missing.
Very transparent.
Man, he was so transparent. I was like, I said, man, he got to be telling the truth.
Yeah, yeah. But
he showed me everything.
And, you know, his job is to take the information that's given to him. All right. He doesn't have a background in finance. In budgeting, okay? So the people that you hire, you entrust them to do the right thing, to bring you the correct information so you may disseminate this information to the public.
They put them on
or
stand.
It gets leaked to the public through closed-door meetings where the board and the administrator talks about where we're at currently as a district and what's the money that's coming in, what's the money that's going out, and now based on that information, we're looking at a deficit, which always gets people's, you know, hair up on the back of their neck.
And that's what happened with the community. The community came out in droves.
Yeah.
I was at that meeting at the high school. They came out in droves to, like, basically try to.
It was a lynching.
Yeah, okay. You said the right word. Okay. I wasn't going to say it, but.
Call it what it is.
That's what it was. And I was like, I was just sitting there not saying nothing. I was in awe. I was like, I'm looking at these people. I'm like, he can't be him. He was only here for like a year. He had a full year.
No, it wasn't even 4 years, man. No.
He came in January, so it was like, he didn't have a full year. You're talking about he messing up something. I'm like, how could he be messing up something?
Well, you know, part of that came because of the raises that he gave.
Okay.
That kind of started this whole ball of wax. So it was $500,000 in raises. Well, it
wasn't. But it wasn't what? Like you said, it was some people that retired. Some changes happened. He showed it. I seen it in the paperwork that day.
Yeah, he felt there was some deficiencies in certain areas where he needed to get more competent people in those areas in order to keep those people, bring them in, retain those people. You got to pay them the going rate, okay?
What everybody else paying.
And that's what happened.
Yep. Got to give them a living wage that fit their skill level.
Yeah. So, again, misinformation got the public up in arms, and as a result of it, you know, he got some bad publicity. But as the rest of the story is told, he's operating with a surplus.
Okay. Get money. That's what I'm going to say.
Operating with a surplus.
In other words, Muskegon audience, get money. Muskegon is getting to the money.
Is continue to support him as well as our school system by having our students stay in the district.
That's right.
And hopefully other folks will see the value of their education in Muskegon's public school district and bring their children back. Or if they didn't go, keep them here.
Yep. Certain kids have figured out that certain communities not for them.
Oh.
They're finding that out.
I know firsthand about some of those experiences. And, you know, there still there's quality education going on in the school system.
It's going on other places too. But
well,
it's
why
can't they go on in your own neighborhood? That's what I'm thinking. Like, why you gotta go to a different neighborhood that you're not from, that you don't live in, and you gotta say, well, I'm getting education from there, but you're not attached to that community at all. If you end up walking down the street in that community, they might call the police.
Okay. Don't think it doesn't happen. It does happen.
I can't do it.
You know, and I watched, you know, there's a weekly culture show that's aired through the Sports Journal. It's a streaming, and we interview players on a weekly basis. And I'm impressed with how articulate these kids are, the aspirations that they have. When you talk about what do you want to do in 5 years from now? You know, some of the answers were, I'm going to be an airline pilot. Some guy says, I want to go into business. I want to come back and be a part of this community. I want to be a teacher, possibly a coach. I mean, these guys had it mapped out.
Okay? That's good.
It wasn't no, I don't know answers. None of them. Everyone that was interviewed had some aspirations in life, and it tells me what's happening in our school district is very positive in preparing these kids for life after high school.
And that's the big championship right there.
Yeah.
Not a victim, but a victor.
No, my hat is off to administrators, the coaches, the teachers. They've just done a fantastic job with our students, man.
Hey, speaking of fantastic jobs, we got Amazon, the owner of Amazon.
Amazon, Jeff Bezos.
Yep, Jeff Bezos.
And his wife.
Yep, and his wife.
Mackenzie announced a $2 billion fund for homeless families and create preschools.
Yep, I remember talking about the homeless in Seattle, and you gave a great picture of it. What does that look like in Seattle? How does that set up?
Man, they got some of the largest homeless populations of major cities in the country. And it's like parks. You know, there's city parks, and they just basically take over. It's sort of like this morning they had the little deal over in Kalamazoo and Bronson Park.
Yeah, I heard that on the radio.
They went over and cleaned them out, you know. Yep. And one of the commissioners said, hey, if you're taking these folks, cleaning them out, I'm going to jail. And, yeah, and they took her to jail. But she believed that the city was doing a disservice by displacing these homeless people because they haven't done a good job.
So a city commissioner went to jail?
Yeah.
That's I commend her for that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. She stood right there and said, they got to take me to jail because I'm going to be here. These are my constituents.
That's
all right.
Hey,
homeless people.
Power
right.
Move. She made a power move.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, what I'm talking about. Humanity.
Here's a guy that's the richest man in the world and getting richer by the day.
Man, by the day. By the day.
Is taking a step towards making America a better place. Because America is great. America's always been great. And America will continue to be great, regardless to contrary belief of others.
Yes, it
all
is.
All right. And people like my man at Amazon is the kind of guy that, you know, put your money where your mouth is, all
yes,
right?
Yes, it is, man.
Okay, and he's in Seattle, right? That's
yes,
where the
he
headquarters
is.
For Amazon
That's
is
where he
in
started
Seattle.
Out. He started out there.
Okay.
Do you know his background story? I was,
No,
you know,
what is it?
I'm into Forbes, Tony, so I watch a lot of Forbes videos, and only like 20 minutes, and I read up on the people in books and stuff like that. And his background story is he went to Harvard or someone else, Ivy League schools, had like a 3.8, you know, just immaculate.
He's brilliant.
Brilliant guy, right? Double major, business, computer programming, okay? Knew it. Graduated from college, went to Wall Street. Was doing average.
Okay.
He felt like he was just a number there, right?
Which he was.
And he was just a number there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm on Wall Street, and I'm telling my parents, I don't want to do this. He's like, man, you went to school all these years. You graduated cum laude. You smart. What do you want to do, son? He said, Dad, I really think it's a lucrative business in having this online library where people can buy books wholesale and they can sell their books and I can buy them and all this. I think I could start something like that.
Okay.
So his dad and his mom said, what you going to do? Where you going to do that? So me and my girlfriend, I think he got married.
Mackenzie.
Early. Yep.
Mackenzie.
Early, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're gonna just move to Seattle and start it there. Just an empty warehouse.
Great Northwest.
Yep.
Okay.
Like Microsoft did, right?
Right.
Dad said, hold on, come by. They come by, write him a check for $300,000. Say, son, I believe in you. Here you go.
All right.
No questions asked. Not a loan.
It's a gift.
Here's $300,000. Go live your dream, son.
Okay.
I watched that ball several times, and I seen the article you had that we were talking about on the show this week, and I was like, that's why he giving. But then I also looked at the background of that article. There was a time where they were trying to pass a tax on corporations like his, where they was going to tax them for the homeless. Oh. And he knew something. He had some insight. He said, a lot of times when nonprofits, when businesses are taxed to help out nonprofits, the money don't trickle down to the
people. Oh, no.
You talking about, if I tax you at $100, let's take a number, $100.
Okay.
Do you know how much actually get to the person?
10%.
Probably $5 or $10, Tony.
Yeah, so that's 10%. If it's $100, 10%, $10 actually go to the people that's in need. 90% of it gets consumed in administrative cost and salaries and whatever. And dilly.
Yep. So what he said was, they came after him. He got it where he brought his lawyers out, went against the state and everything. They changed it. They lowered it. They cut it down, right? They cut it in half. So he paid that. Then he said, I got something for them. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to control what I give to the government.
Right.
Now, $2 billion is like, boom. Now, leave me alone. They like, okay, we'll leave you alone now.
Yeah. That's just the start, though.
That's just the start. But it's going to generate more, though, because he knows what it's like with somebody to give him a handout.
Okay.
But he didn't really get a handout. He got a hand
it was,
up.
It was a seed.
Yes.
He got a seed, man.
I wonder what his parents are thinking. Like, we got you $300,000, son. You're the richest man in the world.
Now.
And just because his parents believed in him.
Yeah.
People have ideas every day.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately for a lot of us, they don't accelerate at a rate of $300,000 seeds.
No. No, you don't. No, so.
It take a network of people, take this and that. He's like, I got it. I got $300,000 from my parents. They're going to give me their life savings, and I'm gonna invest it into this business.
The guy's a visionary, man. And, you know, he took a concept that we've all experienced in college when it comes to buying books.
Yes.
I mean, that was a shock. You talk about sticker shock. That was one of the first things that just blew my mind when I got to college. And I had to go to the bookstore. And it's like, come on, seriously?
$400.
I said, well, okay, where's the used books at? I can't buy this new. I'm going to go to the used book section. And they were still expensive, man.
Crazy.
So this guy, he said, well, you know, why do we do this to college students? So he came up with a plan, like you say, where we're going to do book sharing.
Yep.
Off the chart, okay? And then as a result of that, he springboarded him into so many other things. His next venture, check this out.
Go ahead.
Is that you have an app on your phone. You walk into the store, and it's into this Amazon store, and you pick up the products that you want, and however you want to package them up and leave the building, you just take them and you walk out of the building. There's no cashiers. I mean, there's probably people there that want to, you know, if you're looking for a specific item, they can tell you where it's at. But the items you pick up, it's already being recorded and scanned. So when you walk out of the store.
Oh, yes, they put it in Chicago.
You don't pay any money. It just gets charged to this credit card that you got connected to this app at Amazon. Is that incredible?
Man, that's incredible. You just cut down all the baggers and everything. They don't have to do no work.
No.
I seen that in
Seattle. Customer service. They have one in Seattle. Best.
So now it's in Chicago.
It's in Chicago.
I got an Amazon account. Amazon is powerful because.
Oh, yeah. I've been an Amazon member for years, man. Okay.
Man,
yeah.
I always go on there. Like, I'll find something. Let me go on Amazon and see what they got. If it's cheaper, it could be anything. I mean, like, it went from books to all the products, right? Pretty soon it's going to be cannabis. They're going to have cannabis on there.
Oh, no doubt. Once he figure out what the model needs to be in order to make this thing work. He's just not going to jump into it. He's going to make sure that when he does get involved, it's going to be at a very high, efficient manner.
Yep.
Okay? It will be nothing to be left undesired about whatever that model looks like.
I mean, the jobs that he's creating with the mailing service. He's cutting the postal service out.
Yeah.
They're bringing packages to my door, dropping them off on Sunday. I'm like, how the mail get delivered on Sunday? Amazon.
Yeah. You know, he's got this other system now, and he's getting ready to put in place. It's 24-hour service. So you can get packages at your house 24 hours a day. And what they do is they basically lease you these Mercedes-Benz trucks.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay. We talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they load them up with products, and they'll give you a delivery time. The delivery time doesn't work, you let them know. I'm going to be out late. I'm not going to be home till 2 o'clock in the morning. And that's when I want my package delivered. Then at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when you get your package. Yeah.
And I see
7 days a week.
And the jobs that people can apply for that is called Amazon Flex.
Yeah.
You go online and you can pick a shift.
You can pick a shift.
You can use your own car or you can use a Mercedes Benz.
You can use the Benz. Yeah.
People, there's jobs out there, and this man has created them.
He had created some jobs, man. Very innovative.
I'm trying to wait till I'm trying to wait till I can bounce back. That's one of my another side hustle. I'm gonna add to mine.
Right. 24/7.
Man, deliver some packages for like it could be a 4-hour shift, and they show you how much the shift they'll pay you. It could be $300 for that shift, $250 for that shift for them 4 hours. So 4 hours, you make $250. You're like, what? I'm doing that. You get off work and say, oh, I got 4 hours. Let me go and drive. Boom, you get done. They scan the packages. Boop.
Right.
Deliver. You go on your phone. I deliver it here. They check. They check because it got this little sensor.
Confirm.
Or something. Confirm. Then your pay comes.
Yeah.
Right on your amazing.
Right on your card.
Yep. So he majored. Look, audience. He majored in business and programming.
Yeah.
Business and program. I'm telling you that for your kids. Business and programming.
And now he's going to serve the underserved community of America by taking care of the homeless and the children. Right.
Yep.
These monasteries. Is what you call them? Like the preschools?
Yep, third through eight, age 3 through 8, just helping the mom. And then that's the, that's not the brain drain, but that's where I know even in our district in Muskegon, we're trying to focus on our preschoolers there because you're trying to get kids to read before third grade.
Right, and they should.
Way before third.
They should.
Yeah.
And they should. You see it every day.
Yeah,
okay.
Understanding their letters and their numbers and coming in and being able to understand the articles, noun, pronoun, just basic things, sentence structure, and building that concept for comprehension. And before, because a lot of kids are getting it after third grade. That's too late.
Yeah.
So he's approaching. But the Montessori schools he's building, they're only for the urban low
underserved.
Yeah, underserved socioeconomic status.
Urban America.
Man. So he's helping the homeless out and that population out with $2 billion.
America. That's it. You know, and part of that article, man, it was some of these monies that we were talking about, these foundations, that's out there, and it was a list of them. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yes, sir.
$40 billion. Duke Endowment, $33 billion. Ford Foundation, $12 billion. Lilly Endowment, $11 billion. And you ask yourself, where is this money being spent? What are the areas that you know of that this money is being spent, especially in urban America? You know, I know Bill and Melinda Gates do great things, but I have never heard of any of that money being spent in urban areas. I know that, you know, they go across the country to go to Africa and they feed people, they send over for vaccines and things of that nature. But the core of America, I think, is being missed in these huge, huge endowments and foundations. And I think the move that Mr. Bowes has taken is going to make a big difference in the infrastructure of America in years to come.
Man, it's nothing like I know if you want a good feeling, audience, imagine you driving your car and then, like you say, you ride around a park that had homeless people there and then you arrest them, right? But then you say, you this guy, it was homeless people at this park, but I did this and then now they got that.
Right.
And they don't even know I helped them. I can walk right up to them, and they don't even know it's me that
helped you. Nope.
That's a powerful way of giving.
Get us somebody
in a way where you know they can never repay you.
Yeah. Provide housing for the homeless. As simple as that, man. You know, these schools, I mean, you know, great example is these schools we have in this community right now that's up for sale. Yep. $85,000 is for Frebel School. And I think that was Phillips School.
Yes, it.
Okay, they had sold them some years ago, and the guy that they sold them to
didn't do right.
Was a scam artist.
Yep.
Okay.
He ended up living them.
Yeah. So now they got them back because he never paid the taxes. And they found out that the guy had, you know, filed bankruptcy numerous times, what have you. So now it's on the auction block for $85,000. And I think it would behoove folks to take a look at the money that's being set aside for homeless and look at retrofitting these buildings to turn them into homeless centers.
I'm going to tell you something we don't have here, Tony. And I've always been saying it, like I work with Judicata Youth, right? Something we don't have here. We have a juvenile detention center. Everybody's not a juvenile. anybody don't get in trouble. That we have a homeless population of teenagers in our county that need a dormitory like forever.
Covenant.
Yep.
Like the Covenant. Same model Covenant did.
Covenant is just small.
Right.
We need something bigger.
Yep.
And it don't have to be for kids to go to school. It can be like, look, well, we got this place you can stay at so we can get you back on track.
Yep.
See, a lot of times it's too much red tape to jump over. If you just give me a facility that I can show up to and I can get a good night's stay, you say, man, like, do you need some other help? Just give me an opening door where you need this, you need to have this, you need a caseworker. No, just give me a door that okay. say I can come in.
Yeah, get rid of the red tape.
Yes. And I look at Frebo's like being on the hill and saying you can come here, spend a night. We're not asking no questions or nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't make sure you don't make no drugs. No,
oh, right. No
crime, none of that. Make sure you got this kind of behavior. You got a good week stay. And in that week, we're going to have some services and some classes that you would like to come to. You can come to. But in 7 days, you're going to have to do one of these things.
I think that's a great idea.
We need that in our community. We don't have nowhere to put our kids. We got kids couch surfing.
Yeah.
They hanging around at McDonald's. I'm talking about it's countywide. As far as all those Coopers.
Oh, yeah. It's not just inner city. Just not urban.
Man, it's everywhere, Tony.
It's everywhere.
So we got to do something. We got to figure something out. I know I did have some financial stuff, but we did talk about Amazon. So I'm going to get a scripture today. Got it. It's out of Philippians. And it says, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also suffer for him. So they're like, man, how do you suffer for somebody? Like the guy just did in Amazon. He knows, I don't know how he knows that's homeless, or he riding to his $1 billion home or whatever. And he got something hanging over his head that he was privileged enough. For his parents write a $300,000 check, and he said, "It's somebody homeless out here that's possibly smarter than me.
Okay.
And if I get him a hand up, they're going to reach out one day and say, you help me, I got these ideas." And that's what I think, that he has that kind of insight.
I really do.
And he's thinking objectively, like, where I'm going to put this in place, because there's some geniuses out there that got some great ideas.
To think like he does, to put that much money on the table, which more to come, because there is definitely a need.
Yes, sir.
No doubt.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.